Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. You're listening to the Hour of the Time with your host here, Doyle Shamley, in Eager, Arizona, the 6th of April, 2010, Tuesday. And tonight, we've got a few updates for you, and then some highlights of some recent speaking engagements and meetings that we've attended, and then continue on with our Civil Disobedience series tonight, Part 8. Now, ladies and gentlemen, first, if you'd like to write the Hour of the Time, you may do so by writing Hour of the Time, or HOT, H-O-T-T, P.O. Box 940, Eager, spelled E-A-G-A-R, Arizona, 85925. Again, that's Hour of the Time, P.O. Box 940, Eager, Arizona, 85925. The website, hourofthetime.com. That's hourofthetime.com. And the studio number in Arizona, 928-333-2942. That's 928-333-2942. And in Canada, the studio number is 613-733-4324. That's 613-733-4324 for the studio in Canada. Now, ladies and gentlemen, if you'd like to share productive comments or research, questions, or hate mail, you can email me directly at hourofthetime@hotmail.com. That's hourofthetime@hotmail.com. Now, ladies and gentlemen, now that we have been moving forward with several projects, you're going to see some changes to the website and the shopping cart, etc. We're going to post up some new items, including the format for the new Hot Club, which is a wonderful way for you to support the Hour of the Time and our endeavors, because remember, we are listener-supported. And although outright donations are absolutely wonderful, the better bet is for you to donate for research materials, so you can support the Hour of the Time, so we can keep going out doing speaking engagements, conferences, produce DVD presentations, etc., by going to the hourofthetime.com, our website, and then go to the Hot Shop, and you'll find hundreds of MP3 selections, PDF downloads, DVD presentations, special series of gear, etc., all available there, and that's a great way for you to help support the Hour of the Time, because we are, like I say, fully listener-supported. And also, don't forget that right now we are doing our satellite broadcasting, our audio streams on satellite. So, this is the test month, ladies and gentlemen, for satellite radio, April, the month of April. And we need to hear back from you, because we need to see that it will be supported by the audience, this endeavor. If it won't be supported by the audience, then we're going to close it. Plain and simple. It's that easy. Cut and dry. Now, ladies and gentlemen, with those cursory announcements made, we're going to go to a musical break. And after that, we'll go into some recent meetings that we've attended and speaking engagements, and then move on into our topical series, Civil Disobedience, this evening, which is the 6th of April, 2010, Tuesday, is part 8. And also, this evening's special offer, if you email me, hourofthetime@hotmail.com, tonight, the 6th, when this broadcast is new and live, we will send you Martin's History of France. Now, in PDF form, of course. And I want you to read that very carefully, because it talks about the ties between the secret societies, the origins of the writings of the so-called Communist Manifesto, where it really began, the lodges, and Karl Marx. So, that's Martin's History of France, tonight, the 6th of April, 2010. Just email me, hourofthetime@hotmail.com. So, after this musical break, as always, go get you something to eat or drink, notebook, pen, pencil, paper. Be prepared to take notes and write as we continue on.
Estimating your time, all in your mind. Estimating your time, all in your mind. Estimating.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, your host here, Doyle Shamley in Eager, Arizona, with the hour of the time, tonight, Tuesday, the 6th of April, 2010. And tonight's offer, if you email me, hourofthetime@hotmail.com, I will send you in PDF Martin's History of France, which you need to look at because it shows many of the ties between the thought processes and philosophies of the societies and the brotherhoods and the organizations and how they tied into so-called mainstream theories that were promulgated by the communists and the communist movements around the world. Now, we recently, last week, that is, attended a few different speaking engagements. Unfortunately, my partner that went with me, who's keeping track for whatever reason, he pointed out that was the 90-second speaking engagement unfilmed. Oh, well. But just in the last 3.5 years. But it went quite well. What it was we were invited to make a presentation to a very large organization, group of people that have gotten together under the guise of the Tea Party movement, but they're not part of the international or the national or even the state level organization. That's just kind of a name they stuck to themselves. And they have a wonderful meeting facility. They meet in a restaurant that has a massive meeting area room that's separate from the other half. The staff seem to be quite accommodating throughout the whole ordeal. And what's really nice is there's digital projectors built into the place, screens that are permanent, and it on different walls even that are permanent, so that depending on how the crowd sits, you are able to orient your presentation so that everybody can see it the best. They even had a sound system, etc. I thought it was quite good. I did notice a few things that I will point out about how the meeting did and didn't go. First off, it's a very excited group. When they open the meeting, they read some minutes from previous meetings, and people report in on some accomplishments or points of contact they've made, etc. Now, one thing I'd like to point out, ladies and gentlemen, is this is what you need to be doing out there in your local area. I have stressed this and stressed this all over and over again, is you need to get out there in your area and get to know some of these other organizations and groups that are meeting. Now, I have the distinct feeling based on input we got before the meeting, during the meeting, and after especially, that we made quite an effect upon them and their organization. After they did their introductions and whatnot, I got up, and I always drag everything with me because I don't know what I'm going to walk into. So digital projector, extension cords, you know, you've got to think of all this, ladies and gentlemen. Don't assume there's going to be an extension cord there or a power strip to plug all your stuff into, whatever. Also, be sure to take, like we always take, the pocket constitutions with us. The Citizens Rule Book is the one that we use, because it gives not only the Constitution, but it gives historical background throughout as to why is a certain passage pertinent, what caused it to be brought in, etc. What does it mean? Now, we also had our local coordinating, local control book package there available, and we were able to move everything we took with us. At the beginning of the meeting, I honestly, and this is not meant to be disparaging to the organization down there at all, but I was honestly thinking, what did I get myself into tonight? First we were told we had like 15 minutes, and no, I'm not even going to go get the computer or nothing. There's no point in setting anything up. And then 30 minutes, then they budged to an hour. Well, once we started rolling, we went well over an hour, and I just finally stopped because I didn't know how long they wanted me to go. But I saw at the beginning of the meeting people that were angry, which is, you know, makes sense whenever you get a large group of people. I would guesstimate there was about 90 people there at this meeting. It was a large crowd. And I see, you know, fragmentation, everything you see in any organization, especially when they're starting up. But it made me a little leery at first, but once I got to start speaking, I saw that we had a very interested crowd, a crowd that was sincere in their endeavors to make this a better place, to reestablish our constitutional republic and freedoms as they're meant to be. So I covered everything from the foundings of the republic, what it means, federal land grabs, the real definitions of property rights. It's not just real estate. Many of the more foreboding grabs going on right now to seize land from states and counties and cities across the board by various federal agencies, taking them away from we the people and turning them into biospheres. It all goes back to Agenda 21, the Rewilding Project, the bioregional governance, everything we've covered on the air for you before, ladies and gentlemen. We also covered many of the definitions out of the federal and state codes for jurisdiction and delegation of authority. And by the time we were done, I think the group really was quite inspired, not that they weren't already, but I think we really, really helped because they were just ecstatic and we got swarmed afterwards. While I was trying to tear down the equipment. I go for business. And I also have a three and a half hour drive each way. It's already 9 o'clock at night. You know, so I need to pack and think about getting on the road. We have 40 to 50 mile an hour blowing snow and winds and mountain passes to get through during that 3 to 3.5 hours. So it can make for quite the interesting drive in the pitch black. And we were literally swarmed. My partner and I that went together, John is his name. You'll see him at the Eager Conference. He comes around quite a bit and is heavily active in the property rights group, of course, with us and is the current acting president. Now, many of these people said that they felt inspired. They didn't realize how little they knew. Many of the comments that I received were, we haven't really been getting anything done like we thought. Now that we've heard a lot more of the imminent threats, we went into several of the official manuals from the RAND Institute and the North American Treaty and Union as far as official manuals that I have right here and have read in their entirety, like on police state planning, North America and a New World Order, the final plans for bioregional governance. And we pointed out several of the things. For instance, our chief forester and really overseer of what many people perceive as the public lands out there in the USDA and the Department of Interior out of Washington, why she's driving these plans that people say, this makes no sense, why are they robbing it from us? You have to look at the whole picture and do your research. With just a little bit of research, you'll soon find out that Mrs. Gail Kimball is also the so-called chief forester for the North American sector of the United Nations. So there is why her seemingly very driven agenda is coming about. I got to talk to dozens and dozens of these members afterwards. And they seem very appreciative of us coming down there. In fact, people were handing us donations to cover gas and our meals and our time. It was a very nice setting. And ladies and gentlemen, that's what you need to do as well with all of this learning you're getting at the hour of the time, especially with the local control. Get out there and educate. They were dying for a game plan, you can tell. And I don't mean falling apart, dying. I mean yearning. Because they asked, what do we do next? What do we do next? What should our group concentrate on? So, of course, I stressed you need to get with any, wherever you might live in this area, any of your appropriate so-called city leadership and get them educated, your counties, and we are already helping them as well with that. We are going to get several of the local control resolutions passed in their county and cities as well, and we have help at the state level to do that, people in the county seats, et cetera. And many people even told me that they're heavily involved with political party A or B, you know, Humpty Dumpty, they're both the same, the Republicrats, or they're running for offices, et cetera, and pointed out that they didn't realize how uneducated they probably were in this whole last year since this group has been together until they saw a well laid out, well documented with all the visuals presentation. It went smooth as silk, and I have to tip my hat to them. They got over those rough bumps in the beginning of the meeting when you see people mad and walking out and stuff and throwing fits, or people worried about how are they going to organize this or that at their next protest meeting and what have you. You get a little leery when you've done as many of these speaking engagements as I have. You honestly start to think, damn, I wasted my time and I got a hell of a drive ahead of me. But it turned around quite well. My hat is off to them, per se, because I see they have a powerful core group there, ready and willing and able to do quite a bit of good. And they immediately had me, the next day, send them several informational CDs that they were willing to pay for the postage and everything, more book sets, etc. So those are all good signs. They want to be educated. And I would not have known any of them had I stayed ratted up in my own little community or in some chat room somewhere, bitching and bellyaching to the choir. You need to get out there, ladies and gentlemen, because we just found several new allies. One gentleman is the president of that region's there, gun club. Their board meetings have 35 to 50 people twice a month, and they have 700 members. They want me to come speak to them. Now the county and city Republican Party and Democrat Party both also would like me to come speak to them. And this is all because of this one meeting, ladies and gentlemen. Also several other private groups that were vested there, veterans groups, etc., that had representation at this meeting, as well as a person even running for First District Congress here in Arizona, pointed out that the amount of information was incredible, and the way that it was laid out made it a lot easier to absorb with the visual presentations, the reports, the quotes, the numbers that people could see. So I'm really glad it went off well. And I tell you all this, ladies and gentlemen, because you need to be out there doing the same thing. Don't hold yourself up thinking that that's going to be a solution. Sitting there with your head in the sand, either by choice or consent, or just choosing, oh, well, there's no good. Everything's lost. I can't do anything. That's exactly what the enemies of our constitutional republic and our freedoms, the collectivists, the bureaucrats, the socialists, that's exactly how they want you to feel. Get out there, make some allies and alliances and ties. Get moving. And one person even said, well, you need to be running for Congress. I said, no, I can do much more effective, proactive engagements, working like I do with these speaking engagements and information and appearances than I could ever do in some seat with your hands gagged while you're surrounded by socialists. So I think it went really well. My hat's off to them. In fact, many of them are going to make the long trek up here, excuse me, this week, to attend our property rights meeting so they can get involved in that facet as well. So by covering a whole gamut, people got to see that they weren't alone. They weren't a kook sitting out there. They weren't just a small group. There's a very organized effort out there that they now saw that they can partake in the hour of the time to reestablish constitutional republic can form a government in this country. I did notice, though, a few things that I've noticed in a lot of engagements. A lot of people may have a constitution somewhere. At least they had them available to all the members at the meetings. That was good. The pocket constitutions. You don't hardly ever see that. But I think a lot of people have not cracked it and read it. Because I didn't get very many hands or very many nods or affirmative responses when I asked, well, who's read it lately? I heard one sheepish voice come off from the side. When I asked what form of government we have, three or four people said something, very sheepishly though. And then when I said, well, where is it found? Where is that guaranteed Article 4, Section 4, for instance, guaranteeing a Republican form of government? I didn't get any responses on that. So it just goes to lend credibility to the fact, ladies and gentlemen, that when you are educated, like here through the hour of the time, you are a powerful weapon against socialist and collectivist. And you can become a powerful stimulus, a tool to others to get organized and get into a proactive stance. Because so many of these meetings I attend simply come down to, it's a get-together that they have every other week or every week or once a month or what have you, just sit there and bitch about the same crap that we already know is wrong to each other, and that's it. Nothing proactive happens. Now we actually have a major engagement coming up down in the Phoenix metropolitan area at the Tempe Diablo Station, stadium, excuse me, not station, where we'll be speaking to the press, several senators and congressmen, several candidates, and have informational booths set up with maps of federal and state jurisdictional areas, riverways, laws, both civil taxation and criminal jurisdiction. We'll have information handouts, so it's really good. And you too, ladies and gentlemen, need to be doing that. I told you, this season is ripe for getting out and making those connections, reestablishing local control, and getting organized. How many of you, since you've had the local control, the coordinating workbook sets, have put them to use? I would dare to say none of you. Get out there and do it. It's not going to happen on its own. Ladies and gentlemen, now that coordinating workbook package, again, is a wonderful way to help keep the listener-supported hour of the time moving and doing these engagements all over. Up right after the engagement in the metropolitan area, they're expecting 6,000 to 7,000 people, ladies and gentlemen. They've had to rent an entire university stadium. This is a big deal. And a week after that, the Pennsylvania conference, on and on and on. We're constantly moving here because we are proactive and we need your support. Go to the website, hourofthetime.com, and go to the Hot Shop. You'll see tons of topical MP3 series, audio series, that is, DVD presentations, PDFs. Listen every night, take your notes. You'll learn something every evening here on the broadcast. And also partake in the little offers that I like to make. I try to do that every evening when it's practical. We have, again, tonight, Martin's History of France, to show you how many in the past began working together, different societies, brotherhoods, institutions, to push for a world reformation, a progressive world movement under the guise of world socialism and communism. And in fact, it's really neat, ladies and gentlemen, because this has been attempted before and before, and good Americans stood up and defeated it. I personally helped just about 2 weeks ago with another presentation where I did all the photos, did the presentation while a local person spoke. This was all from her collection. She's an ally of Hour of the Time. And we got to show photos to people of the International Workers of the World. Now, if you don't know what they are, you need to go look it up. But basically, it was in the teens of the 1900s, a world socialist movement, and they would go around and agitate. Now, they figured to draw attention, they would come out here in the western states and start burning down property. Forests, grazing lands, cabins, homesteads, communities, to gain attention to their desperate struggle to help their fellow man by burning their crap down. So, this lady's family actually fought them off, built the first, which are used to this day, mind you, to this very day, as fire lookouts. Her family built those. There was armed conflicts, people shot, and it was really cool getting to do those photos, getting to see those struggles where people have stood up as good American individuals and fought off world socialist aggressors. And it's all coming back around again, as we'll discuss more this evening after this next musical break, into part 8 of our civil disobedience. We're going to get into communist infiltration and propaganda, how it's been used, economic indicators, etc. So be sure to take notes right now. And we're going to, that last musical section, by the way, was given to us by himself, the man who did it, the piece by David James. And this next one is from Desperado Joe from his band. Ladies and gentlemen, you're listening to The Hour of the Time, Tuesday, the 6th of April, 2010, with your host here, Doyle Shamley in Eager, Arizona. And tonight, getting into part 8 of our civil disobedience series, your duty, your responsibility to perform civil disobedience for the restoration of our republic. Now, without realizing it, most Americans, ladies and gentlemen, have made money their god. And they have kept themselves quite busy with hero worship, whether that be sports figures, musicians, actors, actresses, certain figures and groups out there. And what it's caused, ladies and gentlemen, is that most of their so-called heroes do not follow the line of a constitution or a constitutional republic, and most people began to blindly follow them. Most Americans simply began accepting everything they read in a newspaper or saw on television as the absolute truth. And they were trusting in their bureaucracy's ability, the collectivists, to prevent a depression or banking failure. That's so ironic because this was written in the early 90s by yours truly. And here we go again. Now, most Americans have become covetous of their income level, their conveniences, their cars, their SUVs, their boats and motorhomes, their homes, their yards and landscaping. And nothing wrong with landscaping, Joe. I'm not trying to take you out of a job. But what happened is people became complacent. They became afraid to confront the bureaucracy because they were afraid of losing their little trinkets. Most Americans lost sight of our Constitution and the goals and foundations of this country. And ladies and gentlemen, they got a good taste of it in the late 70s and early 80s. Many of you may remember the massive extreme inflation followed by a very quick and extreme recession that shook many people in this country to their senses. They saw just how quickly all those little trinkets go away, jobs and incomes included. Now, we're back to 2010 and seeing it all over again, but even worse. We are looking at potentially a complete currency collapse in the very near future, and the whole American and world economy crashing down in the very near future. And many Americans now are starting to realize that you will eventually lose everything, either suddenly or gradually. Gradualism is a tool of the collectivist, ladies and gentlemen, unless you wake up, get educated, and get the U.S. Constitution restored in its full force. Now, most Americans out there, surely before they take their big leap to become an American individualist, or wherever you're at out there, a freedom individualist, whether you're in Mexico, Canada, Europe, wherever it might be, Australia, Africa, and that by restoring the basic fundamentals, the inalienable, not able to be leaned, the inalienable rights given by God to all peoples, unless you reestablish those, and in our case, our constitutional republic, then we are nothing but in jeopardy and will collapse. On the present path we are right now, we will lose the few remaining liberties as well as all prosperity and posterity. So, ladies and gentlemen, the big question is, how much do you have to lose, or what left do you have to lose before you'll take action? You see, our founding fathers and forefathers didn't win liberty in a sewing room or a tea parlor. There's a big price to pay for it. And it's time for vast amounts of numbers of Americans to step forward and be prepared to pay that price. Now, ladies and gentlemen, when are you going to step forward? It is time, ladies and gentlemen, to draw that proverbial line in the sand and say no more. I will no longer have illegal regulations, laws, rulings, administrative codes rammed down my throat by collectivists and bureaucrats. I will no longer be told how I will live, raise my children, educate my family, worship. Now, if you're a member of our news list, which is easy, email me hourthetime@hotmail.com, and we send it out once or twice a day, plus post articles on the website, hourthetime.com, you'll see this gradualism. And they're becoming more and more bold, the collectivists are, all the time. See the massive leaps going on to where cities and counties are even now saying that gatherings of six or seven people in your living rooms violate all of their codes, even though it's a religious Bible study, and that you're not allowed to do it in your own living room, ladies and gentlemen. Five or six friends and you getting together and studying the Bible. You're being told how much, if at all, foods and seeds that you can store, ammunition, firearms, first aid gear, documents. You're getting told more and more all the time what you can and can't say and where you can say it. You're getting told what kind of health care you'll take, like it or not. I will not partake, ladies and gentlemen. My line was drawn long ago, and it's just that the more drastic times call for more drastic action. Ladies and gentlemen, you need to get out there. Now, if you find yourself supporting any unconstitutional legislation or willingly obeying unconstitutional laws, you have probably fell into a collectivist or socialist or communist trap. You see, collectivists and socialists oppose all aspects of the Constitution and instigate, influence, and support most of the unconstitutional legislation and rulemaking out there. And there's only one way to not fall into that collectivist trap. That is to uphold the Constitution in its purest form. Otherwise, socialists and collectivists will continue to turn us against each other and against the Constitution itself. They'll agitate so-called right-wingers and conservatives against other so-called right-wingers. Liberals against conservatives. Liberals against liberals. One religious denomination against another, one race against another, workers against employers, children against parents, and each agitated group will be supporting some various small segment of unconstitutional laws and rulings fabricated by the collectivist. Now, does all this sound familiar, ladies and gentlemen? It should, because it's happening all around you. Now, everyone will continue to be agitated into hatred or aggression towards each other, except towards the collectivists that aroused them in the first place. See, you'll hardly ever be able to find these collectivists. They typically leave the scene, if you will, and move on to influence others to oppose the Constitution. A socialist or collectivist can be as innocuous as a janitor who sabotages a company's safety equipment in order to agitate workers, an aide advising a congressman to vote for unconstitutional legislation, a person who plants the idea in a psychopath's mind to kill a leader of a movement, and on and on. You see, for example, if some liberal leader is killed, the liberal becomes a martyr then to that movement. And the emotional petitioning which ensues usually results in the enactment of more collectivist legislation. Right now, ladies and gentlemen, just a small handful of collectivists and socialists are able to funnel millions and millions of dollars to lobby for their particular agenda. Right now, you see it in the absolute lobbying against, for total disarmament of the U.S. of A. Now, you really will not ever find the socialist without some research. This collectivist is really spurring on the movement because he'll be lost in the forest of so-called liberals. He will dupe into becoming figureheads for his purpose. One socialist or collectivist can plant an idea, one simple little lie with the newsman, one politician, one musician, one television show writer, who then spreads it to millions and millions of others who, like sheeple, accept it as fact or truth. Socialists and collectivists use illogical slogans to play upon the emotions of the most emotional individuals out there in society. Instead of using logic, they use emotion And from that emotion, fallacies ensue, which are expressed seemingly logically, but when looked at and investigated, are quickly uprooted. Simply look at cap and trade, bioregional governance, global warming, which used to be global cooling. Now it's climate change. That way it covers all directions. Now laughing gas is causing climate change. You see, ladies and gentlemen, it all goes back to control. You see, socialist and collectivist propaganda gives a distorted picture of an event by telling only part of a story with that emotional appeal. Socialists and collectivists always omit explaining that a few American freedom fighters are risking their lives right now so that millions of Americans out there won't be killed or blackmailed by the collectivist machine later. Socialists and collectivists never tell you about the business owner who risks their very life savings and works 60 to 70 hours or more a week in order to provide a good living for those who only work 40 hours a week. Socialists and collectivists infiltrate causes and slowly twist the purpose of the cause to meet their own needs. And I've seen that already all around the Western United States at the so-called Tea Parties. Watch out, ladies and gentlemen. Many of you are being led astray. See, the collectivists and socialists seek to convince people that lies are truths and all truths are lies. And think about it, ladies and gentlemen, it's gone on and on and on. A few socialists and collectivists might support all six or seven political candidates running for a public office. Because why? They'll control the office no matter who is elected, just like in our last presidential campaign. See, it did not matter whether Bam Bam or McAmnesty won the election. Either way, socialists had the White House. The collectivists and socialists are also quite capable of using blackmail or any other devious means to control a movement, an individual, a judge, an elected official, by professing over and over again their claim that the end justifies the means. And because the Constitution is our supreme law and our real government, it is the primary target for attack by collectivists in their Cold War against American. Now, our congressmen and senators and legislators need to wake up and find out what powers they're really representing and serving. The only way they can do that, ladies and gentlemen, is to educate them quite forcefully if need be. Don't give up if you're given 3 minutes to talk in that first meeting you attend. Go back, get on the agenda, and get 15 minutes the next time. Bring handouts that you give any people on that board that you may be presenting to. Don't stop with the petty little bureaucrat administrative aide that tells you, oh, you don't need to bring this, or don't worry about that, we'll take care of it before you get here. Ladies and gentlemen, go prepared. Now, ladies and gentlemen, you also see right now, of course, many of you know this, but do you really think about it, how much the progressive income tax has promulgated by societies and organizations working behind the scenes to influence countries into a world collectivist organization? How much it has crippled American workers, business owners, decreased your incentive to work hard, or to even try to increase your productivity. Those attacks have stymied, ladies and gentlemen, much of society. when a society feels that it is okay to pass and ramrod illegal national health care down everyone's throat, and you have a large segment of society saying, yes, we need it, we deserve it, or we deserve this new student loan program, or we deserve this bailout money for our mortgage that we didn't deserve, shouldn't have had in the first place, but we wanted to caress and worship the money, the houses, and the trinkets, which are now all losing. And guess who wins in the end? The same collectivists and socialists who convinced you in the first place to get in over your head in the mess. Look how effective, ladies and gentlemen, socialism and collectivism has been at demoralizing and dismantling your very way of life. One socialist or collectivist who is relatively well-trained and skilled can pose and impose their collectivist ideals onto hundreds of thousands and even millions of unsuspecting Americans through their use of so-called administrative law, codes, procedures, the bureaucracy. Socialists and collectivists use every method available to change your very way of life. Their biggest enemy, again, is the Constitution, and they use every opportunity they can to subvert it. If you know any people who, no matter how clever they may be, speak constantly against the Constitution, you must realize right now, ladies and gentlemen, those same people, I don't care what level they're at, are also quite willing to dilute your freedoms, that they are knowingly or unknowingly serving a foreign power. And that foreign power is the international socialists and collectivists who are outside of our real government, the Constitution. Those people, ladies and gentlemen, are your enemies, and you must recognize your enemies before it is too late.
This is the CBS Evening News, with Dan Rather reporting from CBS News headquarters in New York.
Good evening. Danger. War. Killer. Fraud. CIA. Mayhem. Crisis. Horrible. Inflation.
Military threat.
Flaming debris. Fatal heart attack. Stress injuries. Prison disaster. Economic collapse. Dangerous radiation. A tide of violence and human misery. A liar. And an unremorseful killer. Communist international smuggling pipeline. Starving victims. And now they die. Chemical weapons. Carpet bomb deaths. Top FBI killed and injured children. Police conspiracy. Negative attacks. Discipline. Sex and drinking binges. Dying of a heart attack. Dying of breast cancer. Dying of a Japanese nuclear bomb. Mountains of credit card debt. The mountain of cocaine. Tons of cocaine. Atomic bomb radiation experiments. Unwitting test subjects. Dangerous radiation. Marijuana abuse. Hooked on drugs. Time for us to bug out. Rock. Rock. Rock by rape. Rock. Rock. Rock by rape. Rock. Rock. Rock by rape. Sex, drugs, and rock by rape. Nazis, war criminals, cancer, dark, murder, caution, terrorists, castigation, police conspiracy, dramatic urban torture, drunk driving, hostage siege, government shutdown, collapses, desperation, despair, deep into debt, criminals persecuted, semi-automatic handguns, explosive gunmen killed at tourists, funeral victims, racist, massive lawsuit, hostage, ethnic war.
Yes, ladies and gentlemen, your host here, Doyle Shamley in Eager, Arizona, with the hour of the time, Tuesday, 6th of April, 2010. Don't forget to email me, hourofthetime@hotmail.com, for your Martin's History of France PDF. You need to read it, ladies and gentlemen. Don't just email and get it. Let it sit on the desktop. Read it. Now, back to the collectivists out there. Very few of the collectivists and socialists out there actually work for a very recognizable large organization like the United Nations, per se, or the World Socialist International, or the IWW, if you will. Yet, they use willing dupes to further their agenda constantly. Their dupe collectivist allies are ultimately supporting their agenda for usurpation of our freedoms. Now, when confronted, ladies and gentlemen, they'll instantly go into denial mode. The old adage of admit nothing, deny everything, make counter accusations is quite common. And for instance, let's look back in our history at how many moles were planted by official entities like Soviet agents and how they were able to spread. In the 1960s, ladies and gentlemen, U.S. military officers were briefed, and so was the Senate and Congress throughout the 60s and 70s. In fact, that approximately 2,000 moles a month were being planted in the U.S. every year from collectivist societies and entities. These moles are trained to act, speak, and appear as normal everyday Americans. They're even given American birth certificates. Could that be the MO of our current Bam Bam? Think about it in his most probable work in Afghanistan for the CIA next time you look around. Now, these moles go into movements all around the country. And unfortunately, I've got to cut it short because of our new scheduling with that audio stream. I want to thank all of you for listening to the Hour of the Time, and the website is hourofthetime.com.